Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 187. Just a reminder, Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and show merchandise from TeePublic. I'm Tim. Joining me tonight, Sheba and John. John, you're going to be taking care of our character profile.
I am, and when I wrote this one, it was very timely. Now it's kind of medium timely.
How is it medium timely? We're closer to Eternals than we were when you wrote it.
I guess that's true, but I feel like now the buzz and thing would be to do something dealing with Hawkeye.
Oh, you're talking about the trailer.
Yeah.
From the Eternals trailer. Yeah. I mean, there definitely was a lot of hype with it then. And we had some stuff. We had some other big news. We had you had some commitments, some personal commitments. We're kind of all over the place. So that's okay. That's all right. Hey, folks, we're still here.
And you know what? What I've found is Celestials age well.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
I would imagine so.
So let's jump into them. So literally the Celestials go back billions of years to the beginning of creation itself. At least in terms of the Marvel version of creation. There was the Cosmic Order, which was composed of a single sentient universe whose omnipotent intelligence was referred to as the First Firmament. Firmament.
I don't understand this language you're speaking.
That's just its name.
Okay. All right.
You know, there's going to be a lot of weird names.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
We'll call it, for Tim's sake, the FF. Yeah. Not the Fantastic Four, but a different FF. It was the sole being in creation. But it turns out you get pretty lonely being the sole being for a long time. Countless ages, they say.
I would imagine. I mean, there's no one to talk to except yourself.
Yeah.
And that kind of gets old after a while.
Yeah. And there's no internet, so.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was a long time ago. There was no internet. I
mean, and really, holy crap. Really, if you are, you know, the end-all, be-all, what are you going to Google? What are you going to say? I mean, right. I'm just going to come up with you.
That's true. If there was an internet, Google had one page.
Yeah. They'd get to the end of the internet real, real quick. So the FF decided to create the first life, and wanted to give themselves companions as well as servants. Because if you're going to create some other people, might as well make them serve you. Because you've been serving yourself for a really long time.
Someone's got to pour my drink.
Yeah. So these cosmic beings were of a lesser power than the FF. And they were two kinds that were created. And folks, there's no way of saying some of this stuff without it being a little bit weird. Remember, Marvel wrote and created all this, not us. So there are two kinds. There was a black kind, and then there was a multicolored kind, both who were humanoid.
Okay.
The black servants dutifully obeyed and worshipped their creator. They even created their own servants and sought to observe the simple order their creator had made complete. And then changing for all time. So the FF named these loyal beings the Aspirants. And he was very pleased by them. to multicolored wants had a completely different set of values than desired from the aspirants. And they were considered rebels because they wanted a dynamic, diverse, and continually evolving reality where beings lived, learned, reproduced, aged, died, you know, did all the things that were, you know, used to life doing. The rebels wanted this. Their goal was to produce superior cosmic beings with the power to create universes of their own and for the universe to evolve with them as they advance towards that state. These beings were known as the Celestials. So it turns out that the Celestials and the Aspirants couldn't coexist. And they went to war. And it nearly destroyed the first universe. And that's kind of important, too, because even with the first universe, and this ties into the multiverse. The Aspirants created a now lost hyperweapon. I just love that it was called a hyperweapon, called the God Killer. And this was a space-born 25,000-foot-tall humanoid robot that dwarfed even the Celestials themselves.
Wow.
During the war, the God Killer killed, quote, countless billions of Celestials and brought them to the brink of extinction. But
so there were a lot of Celestials then.
There were apparently a lot of Celestials. But like all good villains, for some reason, the Aspirants backed off and started to strip the God Killer for parts.
Can I mention something? Because I just looked up the God Killer. And unless you're going to bring it up, or are you going to bring up the Thor connection?
I was going to say that too, but I was like waiting.
No.
No. Okay. So, Gore, the God Butcher, who is apparently going to be in, Thor Love and Thunder. And he's actually on our list to be covering, is apparently a God Killer. I didn't know this.
He's a God Killer, but he's not the God Killer.
Okay, all right.
There is same name, different. One was a robot. Gore is not, though he does have a weapon that is supposedly linked to the God Killer.
Gotcha. Okay, all right.
That's why I didn't go into it, because it gets real hinky.
All right. What, John, everything in comics is like really clear cut and straightforward. If you can't handle this, like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't think you're suited for this.
So as the Aspirants
got rid frustration of
their ultimate weapon, the Celestials developed their own ultimate weapon, and they detonated. And that tore the FF apart, very nearly killed it. Remember, the FF used to be like the end-all be-all, the one Google page in existence. Mm-hmm. And in an act of desperation and self-preservation, the FF took the remaining aspirants and the pieces of itself that were left and fled outside reality. I don't know how you fly outside reality, but they're now outside of reality. The major fragments of the first universe were torn off and coalesced into a new cosmic being with multiple realities composing it. And this was called Eternity.
Mm. Oh, okay.
You okay? All right. You okay with this name?
Yeah. I'm familiar with Eternity, so yeah.
Okay. So this was the birth of the second universe, and with the multiple realities, the first multiverse. After the birth of the of Eternity, the Celestials, you know, began their plan to create, you know, this, you know, evolving life with new worlds. As I said, life, death, and learning, and moving forward within it. The basic plan they had was they would shape evolution of life on a chosen planet after kind of started to develop sentient life. They would go to this planet and they'd judge it. and see if it had the properties to continue to grow and blossom. They would return for follow-up visits.
Was there like a scoring criteria?
There was a rubric, yes.
Okay.
I think it's been lost. It's probably a 1 to 5 scale.
I was like, is it like, you know,
lots of checklists, you know, it was broken pencil points. It was, if you didn't fill in the line, or the circle all the way, it was very difficult.
Oh, I thought maybe it was a American Idol type scoring system, you know, where,
yeah.
Or like the America's Got Talent type thing, you know, the X's and stuff.
Close. So they would come back, and continue to monitor the planet's progress, and they'd make modifications with interventions as they deemed appropriate, to continue to, you know, get them moving where they wanted them to go. And so these visits have been documented on Earth, but also tying back to, the MCU on the Skrull homeworld.
Mm-hmm.
And I also throw this in there, the Shi'ar homeworld, and the Shi'ar, an alien species, very much tied to the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get into, so these visits were called hosts. The first host is when they would first come to kind of judge a planet. Additional hosts are when they come in and kind of do their checkups on them. So the first host for Earth happened about 4 billion years ago with a celestial named Progatinator.
We just call him Bob.
I like it. Work with me on names, folks. He crashed onto Earth after he was infected by what was called the Horde. There wasn't a lot on the Horde that wasn't confusing, so let's just say he was corrupted.
Didn't you get that once, John?
No.
It gave you an itch. You needed like an ointment or something.
And we don't. I told you that in private.
Oh.
Well, not so private anymore, I guess.
Not so private anymore. Thanks, Tim.
Mm.
And that cleared up. It cleared up, by the way. The ointment worked great. Thank you.
Good. All right. I'm sure that Bob must have used the same ointment. Either that or he developed it.
He died.
Oh. Ooh.
A sad, lonely death.
Oof. Okay.
In fact, it was so bad that his diseased bodily fluids seeped into the Earth. Forever altered the Earth's evolution trajectory. And Loki claims this is how mutants were created on Earth.
That's what Loki claims?
That's what Loki claims.
Now, can we really trust Loki? I mean, he is the trickster god, so...
Yeah, what the hell does Loki know about something that happened... Would you say 4 billion years ago?
Yeah. Well, hold on, because there are some ties. Because then a million years ago, a Silentium, and we're just going to call him Greb, because there's a whole lot of consonants together, and I am going to try. Mm. Came to Earth searching for Bob. Found the remains of Bob. And also got the Horde, So I mean, that stuff like that, like COVID.
Folks,
I mean,
you got to be careful. This is why we use protection.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or masks in the case of COVID.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Masks. Yeah, totally.
So Greb mutated into a dark celestial, first of its kind.
Of course.
And then entered into a conflict with the Avengers of the Stone Age.
Avengers of the Stone Age.
Yes, was a thing with like the original Black Panther.
Ghost Rider.
The Phoenix Force, Ghost Rider, and Odin. So maybe Loki heard about this from Odin.
Dear old dad-ish.
Dear old dad. So the Avengers defeated Greb and buried him underground in the territory that would become South Africa.
Okay.
So the fact that two Celestials died on Earth really brought the attention to other Celestials. They came to Earth. The Stone Age Avengers tried to fight them and got their butts kicked. And so the Celestials genetically engineered 100 Eternals and left them behind to kind of watch over and help shape Earth. And that is where we get the start of the Eternals on Earth. They also created 100 Deviants, who we know are the main antagonist of the Eternals. So this is, you know, say if Greb came a million years ago, we're still about a million years ago, probably, that we have the Eternals showing up and kind of starting things.
Is there any explanation as to why they created both Eternals and Deviants? Is this like a maintaining the balance in the Force kind of thing, or what?
I'm sure it was because, again, they're trying to get the people to learn, to live, to kind of prosper. So if they're going to create one element that can be good and kind of provide hopefully some good oversight and seeing, even though they're not supposed to interfere, having the bad as well. Tie to it as well. So around 18,000 BC, so still a long time ago, is when the second host happened. And at this point, the Deviants far outnumbered the Eternals and the humans. So apparently the Deviants didn't catch the Horde.
Yay.
Okay. That was a very delayed joke.
I mean, maybe they got vaccinated.
Yeah, maybe.
That would be smart, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in order to kind of turn the tide of the battle, again, the Celestials come when they need to kind of interfere. The Celestials came in to basically aid the Eternals and the humans. As a result of this, this caused the sinking of Atlantis, as well as the home of the Deviants, which is not really named. This is called the Great Cataclysm, and it reshaped the Earth's surface. It's also at the time when, I don't know what it is, you know, about this, but another Celestial died on Earth. I mean, again, remember, folks, nowhere was the head of a Celestial in the MCU. And we just had our third one die on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So
Earth is a virtual Celestial graveyard. I mean, like,
apparently
this just shows the epic badassery of the creatures on Earth to like completely be destroying these Celestials.
I mean,
either that or their VD or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
You'd think the Celestials would want to stay away after they're like, oh, people keep dying, let's just stay away.
Yeah.
You think? This one was buried under what would later become Northern California and is known as the Dreaming Celestial. Pretty much all these that die and get buried somehow come back or cause other conflicts within the MCU, and I'm sorry, within the Marvel comics later on. So they do have relevance there, but it's just I'm with both of you. Like, man, they, you know, they just love to die on Earth. Mm-hmm. So the third host came about 1,000 years ago, and wary of the Celestials, Odin gathered all the sky gods, such as himself. And so it was Odin, Zeus, Vishnu, and some others, and basically confronted the Celestials. The Celestials basically were like, cool. I'm going to take away all your powers and kill you all. So this led the sky gods basically pledging not to interfere with the Celestials or Earth for 1,000 years. So basically, you know, a tie to a large gap of why the old, lack of a better term, old gods were in such a while.
The thing is, though, is that in like Celestial time, 1,000 years is like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's not that.
That's like saying, okay, I'm going to walk out of your yard, but like, I'll be back.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go get a drink. And, you know, then after that, I'm going to mess with you. Like that's not very long.
So in the 20th century, the fourth host arrived. Odin actually developed the destroyer armor as a way to hopefully fight the Celestials.
So the destroyer armor is what we saw in the first Thor movie, right?
Yep.
That's the thing that Loki co-opted to go after Thor.
Yes. And apparently we are going to see it again in the MCU. It is a very powerful weapon. As we saw in its ability to take on Thor and Frost Giants and things of the like, the Celestials just melted it down and destroyed it. This is where we may tie into some of the movie. So they then return to Earth, you know, to judge the final stage in their basically genetic experiments. They started to, you know, some kind of cataclysmic events. Again, some of the things we saw weather-wise and everything else in the trailer. A little bit different here is, again, Odin and Zeus and others tried to interfere. They got the Eternals to join them. And despite having Odin, Thor, and the Eternals, the Celestials basically defeated them all again. And they spared Earth only because Frigga and Hera, known as the Earth Mothers, basically came up with a peaceful solution, and they offered 12 perfect humans to the Celestials. And from what I understand, Brad Pitt was one of said humans. You know, others on the list were Ryan Reynolds, The Rock. There's a lot on the list. Tim, you and I weren't there. Sheba, I heard you actually just missed the cut, though.
That is very exciting news. I was just going to say, what was it? Just people's sexiest men or people, whatever is that?
that was actually the reference. Yeah,
something exactly along those lines. These perfect humans were accepted, and the planet was spared judgment, thus ending the fourth host. So can by all means go into, there's up to 8 hosts. They keep coming. From what we've seen so far in the movies, both in the trailers and other times we've seen them, it is kind of matching. They're silent. They're armored humanoids. Their average height is about 2,000 feet. They weigh about 260 tons. They can move planets at will. They can create and contain entire pocket universes. There is, as has been, kind of mentioned and talked to, I'm at 1.1 billions. Interesting going through the kind of list of names that were out there. I want to touch on a couple of them and some that have more ties kind of to the comics or other characters. So you have one called Ashima the Listener.
The Listener?
The Listener, yep.
Okay.
Right. Who was tasked with retrieving Franklin Richards, the son of Sue and Reed, for evaluation as a new member of the Celestials.
Interesting.
Yeah. Franklin has like some crazy powers.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then there's a whole story with Mephisto. Surprise.
Yep. Yep. Have the Celestial Destructor, who is actually an aspirant and was sent by FF to cause damage to Eternity. And it basically took the Avengers, X-Men, and other heroes working together. And the Celestial Destructor was banished with the use of a spell from the Book of Vishanti. Mm-hmm. You had the Celestial Gardener, who has ties to Apocalypse, the mutant that was played by
Oscar Isaac.
There you go. Not a role I think he was super fond of. What is not listed in the name here, and I went back and looked, is nothing about the Celestial who became nowhere, at least in terms of comics. Also interesting, and probably a discussion for another time, Ego is not mentioned as a Celestial. And then there's also some back and forth, and without going back and watching the movie again, of whether or not Ego really was a Celestial. Whether he just kind of sort of claimed, or whether it's actually completely documented that Ego was a Celestial. So don't know. It was a name that kind of didn't pop up. Was one that then looking a little bit into, and there seemed to be some confusion about that. And again, without going and watching and doing a deep dive, not saying Ego wasn't a Celestial, not saying Ego was a Celestial. I'm going to say he wasn't a big, giant armored dude and was portrayed kind of as a planet. So was portrayed very differently than a Celestial would be. So, folks, that's where we have it. I think looking at some of this, and what we've seen from the trailer, whether or not they call it a host, I would assume, you know, with this, with the Eternals acting, with the Deviants rising up, something's going to tie back to these are big events that trigger things of, as they said, the snaps resonating on Earth. Is that enough to draw the Celestials' attention for a, quote, host, a check-in to see how Earth is doing, one would assume that much power radiating out would draw the attention of the Celestials. We're like, we didn't tell them they could do that.
Yeah. When you mentioned the size of the Celestials, Galactus immediately came to mind. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up, and the listing that I got here even says that despite the relatively similar appearance, Galactus is not a Celestial. He's a very specific cosmic entity that is a remnant of a former universe, and Celestials are completely different from Galactus. So, because when you mentioned the size, that kind of like, oh, that's like Galactus size.
Because we were talking about the snap, but what about like the breaking of the multiverse and that, or even, mention that. I was about to mention something, but I can't mention that because I can't mention that. But I was also thinking like multiverse, like breaking a multiverse with that. At all. I know, I don't want to say anything else because I just don't want to ruin anything. Anyways, moving on.
Is this from a movie that you saw that we haven't?
Yeah, I was like, what does Sheba know that we don't know?
Yeah, I know. That's why I was like, I was going to mention, and then I was like, I don't know if that, like, I'm not going to, I wasn't giving anything away. I was just going to be like, oh, maybe, but then I'm like, that still could give something away. So I'm not saying anything. Okay. But,
all right, that's fair. That makes sense now. I'm like, what do you know that we don't know?
Yeah.
Who are you talking to?
Oh, I didn't tell you. I'm actually now in a Marvel movie, so.
Oh, awesome.
Someday. One day. But no, I was wondering maybe like the multiverse breaking open and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Would that also, because based off of the timeline of the things that we have now, it's probably all leading up to the Eternals. So I'm sure it all works in with each other.
Maybe.
Very cool. No, that's a really interesting history of the Celestials, John. Thank you.
That's what I got.
I learned that Celestials had like VD. That's what I learned.
They do. I mean, and it's
kids ask your parents.
You would expect a little bit.
And don't Google it.
More protection, as well as. Just some smarts.
Mom, what's VD? Where did you hear that from? I heard it from Guardians of the MCU. You're not listening to that crap anymore, little Johnny.
Yeah. Why is it always got to be Johnny?
Yeah. All right. Are we done?
I think we're done.
Okay. All right. Folks, thank you very much for joining us. I hope you did legitimately learn something as I did, aside from the whole VD thing. Be sure to stay tuned for MCU TV, where John and Sheba, will be continuing to talk about What If, which has been, very fun. I've been thoroughly enjoying that, as well as your episodes of reviewing them. And then next week, more Guardians of the MCU. So that's that. Thanks, folks. Take care.